What's up? Good evening and welcome to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And we're going to focus on the United aspect of all of this this week, because I am extremely excited to have our guest here with us. He is part of the Dome Patrol United family, and he comes to us all the way over from the UK, where we have quite a listener base, thanks to my guest and his comrades over there in the UK. So this week's guest is arguably one of the most avid Saints fans in his entire country. James, you're with Dome Patrol United. You have your own additional UK Saints fans website. As we get started, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. You know, we've spoken quite a bit in our little group chat. This show has been a really good addition to the podcast that we offer on the Dome Patrol United. So thanks for having me on. The UK kind of Saints fans started officially probably about 4 years ago. Ash and Ben initially started up a podcast over here for UK fans. They invited me to join after about 6 months, just through interactions on Twitter. Never met either of them before. Just interacting through Twitter, we all have the common love for the Saints. We met up for the first time when the Saints came over to play the Dolphins a couple of years ago. And it's kind of gone from there, really. The podcast got bigger and bigger and bigger. We started a website, as you said, saintsukhub.co.uk. And then, obviously, through conversations, again, through Twitter with Jason, Jeff, with the Dome Patrol, made the decision in the off-season to kind of join forces and create this network of podcasts, which we are all now a part of.
Yeah, it's excellent. The question that immediately comes to mind as I was prepping for our show today is how big is the fandom of the NFL over in the UK? How common is it to be an NFL fan in the UK?
In the last 5 years, it's skyrocketed. It really has. Obviously, back in 2006, the NFL started moving games over to London, regular season games, not pre-season games. The NFL has been on the television over here since the mid-1980s. One game a week, usually involving a West Coast team playing at home, because it was, for our time, the 9 o'clock kickoffs. 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, there's never anything on TV over here at that time, so it was always the best time to try and put a game on. At that time, it was mainly the 49ers, if I'm being honest. The 80s, wow. Montana, Jerry Rice.
Steve Young, Montana. Team.
Yeah, they were the main team that were on TV. But, we occasionally got John Elway and the Denver Broncos. Then particularly if Miami were playing on the West Coast, the Miami game was always shown because of Dan Marino. So I suppose they were the big players and the big stars at the time. I've been a fan since then. I always used to enjoy staying up to watch it on Sundays. It was the mid-2000s when the NFL brought the games over. And it really has gone from there. I mean, we had one game a season, then they tried two, then three, and then the year before this one, we had four games for the first time. Mm-hmm. Every stadium sells out. We played it in three different stadiums. Wembley, which is our national stadium, holds 90,000 people, and that sells out within half an hour when the tickets go on sale.
Wow.
And the other stadiums are like 75,000, 60,000, and they sell out even quicker.
Yeah, there was talk of even having Jacksonville become a London team, and I know the Cons have a link over there, with their Premier League ownership. But it's obvious that it's grown. How did you come to be a Saints fan?
So I have family that live in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
My great aunt, she married an American serviceman and moved to America with him in, I think, the 50s.
Okay.
1950s, and he was from Louisiana. I believe that he was born in Hammond.
Yep.
The North Shore. So that's how I, you know, got involved with the Saints. My great aunt came to visit us in 1992 and came over with a load of Saints memorabilia, I guess you could call it, a football mm-hmm. with the Saints logo on it, a sweatshirt, a baseball cap, pictures of some of the players, which I've still got at my mum's house somewhere. So, you know, I didn't really follow a specific team before 1992. I like the 49ers because they were the team that were winning all the time, and that's what you do when you're younger. You always
gravitate
towards the winning team. But as soon as I actually got my hands on something NFL related, and it was the Saints, they've been my team since 1992.
Oh, that goes back quite a ways. You know, I mean, I try to think of it in terms of I'm a soccer fan, and it's not as common over here, right? It's on a larger scale, and MLS soccer is just garbage. Oh, it's so bad, so bad. In fact, I was watching the playoff game last night between Seattle and Dallas, and I placed a wager on that and won. But I mean, just watch, especially in the buildup. You know, the quality is so poor. Relative to earlier in the day, I was watching UEFA Champions League.
Yeah.
And it's like watching the NBA versus watching the WNBA. But in my fandom, as far as Premier League soccer goes, and you're going to hate me for this because I believe you're a Man United fan.
Correct.
I'm a Man City fan, right? And I became a City fan just after they were purchased. And so I jumped on that big old bandwagon, you know, and was really, really, really intense in my following of City during the Pellegrini years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because it seemed like they were going out and buying the best players in the world, and finally they figured out we need to go out and buy the best manager in the world. And when they went out and bought Pep, it's like things have really, really accelerated, you know. And I see, and I'll admit, I mean, yeah, I don't root for Southampton or, you know, some other smaller club. I mean, I latched on to one of the larger clubs, you know, in the league. But there was something strange about City in that their fandom, they had this long-suffering fan base, right?
Yep.
That had not had success for so long. And then in their course, it took an ownership change for them to have success. And I was able to, and using my own mental illness and distortion of the brain exercises, relate being a City fan to being a Saints fan, in that the Saints were poor for so long and did not perform well for so long. And then all of a sudden they had a different sort of epiphany that led to them having success over the last 10, you know, 10, 12, 15 years. So don't hate me for being a City fan. I'm a little upset at City right now. They were the one part of my parlay yesterday that didn't clear in the Champions League. But, man, it's almost like it's pointless to watch MLS over here. I have to focus on the professional leagues in Europe, or else it's just not going to make any sense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Major League Soccer has got better than it was 10 years ago. You know, they're attracting better players, but it's players at the end of their career. You know, you've had David Beckham. David Beckham was the first real superstar to go to play in the MLS, wasn't he? But then you've had Wayne Rooney, you've had Steven Gerrard from England.
Zlatan.
Zlatan went to LA, didn't he? And you're probably thinking, you know, Schweinsteiger, who went to play for Chicago. Mm-hmm. But they're all at the end of their career.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go to America as an 18-year-old.
Right.
That's where I'm going to go to become a superstar.
Yeah, and I was watching that game last night with Seattle, and I'm looking at them like there's maybe two or three guys on the field right now that that could make it in Europe. You know what I mean? And the rest, it's just, whew, it's a tough watch sometimes. It's definitely getting better, but it's not quite there. So look, we didn't come to talk about soccer.
No.
We came to talk about gambling in the NFL. To recap last week real quick, I had 2 wins, 2 losses, and 1 push. A pretty significant push in that I had Kansas City -3. Some folks had that game at 3.5, and it was an absolute disaster for them. I had that game at 3, and so I had a significant push on that one. Also, something very interesting, as we're recording right now, Baltimore and Pittsburgh are 30 minutes from kickoff on a Wednesday afternoon over here. I originally purchased that game. I had a straight-up ticket of Pittsburgh -4. And with the game being moved so many times, that ticket actually has disappeared. And that Pittsburgh -4 was one of my big plays last week. That line has since moved to -10, -10.5. I have purchased, I've got Pittsburgh involved in quite a few, I think 3 parlays and 1 teaser this week. And it's all, you know, kind of tied to Pittsburgh having success today. And so I do want to, as we start to talk about the NFL for this week upcoming, I want to focus on the idea of hedging your bets, or being intentional about a hedge, the art of the hedge, so to say. And I'll make an example and some correlations as we move in with that. Overall, the picks of the pod are now 37-24, and with that 1 push, and we're running at a 60% success rate, which is something that I'm very, very proud of. And honestly, I should just stick to my picks on the pod, because I'm having much more success with the pod picks than I am with my undisciplined picking outside of that. So we're gonna hope we can give you guys some winners this week as we go through. James, how big of a gambler are you? It appears that gambling is legal in the UK. It looks like you guys have access to the mobile apps and can do it remotely. What does that look like, and what's your interest in it look like?
So gambling is legal here in the UK. And like you said, I have an app, or I have an account with an online bookmaker that's called Paddy Power. Makes it very, very easy, sometimes dangerously easy, to gamble, I would say.
yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah.
Having it at the tip of your fingers. I mean, I have a bet every day, I would say. And I mean, I'm talking small sure. bets. So, you know, I gamble football, soccer, horse racing. Here in the UK, we obviously have the flat, but we also have the jump horse racing as well. But it's all year round, and it's from midday till 8 o'clock at night. There's multiple tracks around the country that are racing. Some have got floodlights, so they're racing in the dark and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I gamble every day. I mean, today, for instance, I probably had about £10 on various different parlays and or accumulators, as we call them over here, doubles and trebles on the horses. Unfortunately, none of them won today. But then on Friday last week, I won about £160. So, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, good days and bad days today. But I only lost £10, so it wasn't a huge amount of money. So yeah, I have a bet every day.
Good days and bad days. That's the name of the game. And I mean, I'm looking at, you know, like I said, Baltimore, Pittsburgh kicking off here in about 25 minutes. Folks that listen to the pod, you know, in any recommendations we make there would be moot. But just to kind of give you an example, talking about the hedges, I have, like I said, 3 different parlays and a teaser all tied to Pittsburgh winning. Right. And it's a total of about 14 units, and I play about $20 a unit. So I've got about $280 invested in Pittsburgh. And if Pittsburgh were to somehow manage to lose this game, it would be absolute disaster for me, right? And you talked about earlier the convenience of having it right at your fingertips, and that's some of it. And I'm placing bets throughout the week, and I try to get in early in the week before these lines start shifting, or now in the age of COVID, before some kind of huge development can happen. I mean, I happen to have one of the, I felt like Charlie going into the chocolate factory last weekend. I had a ticket at the Saints minus six. You know, yeah. Saints is 6-point favorites before all of that nonsense and craziness with the Denver quarterbacks happened. I felt like I had, you know, like I had the golden ticket in my hand there, and that ticket remained. And then I kind of used the Saints as an anchor and placed all these other parlays and teasers off of it. And it led to me having, you know, some success later in the weekend as those bets started to come home. But it was all kind of focused on that the Saints having success. I knew there was no way that they were going to lose to Denver. It was just not a possibility. Right. And I've tried to take that same approach with Pittsburgh this week, in that I don't see a scenario in where Pittsburgh loses this game. You could start to argue about, are they going to cover 10.5? But I have either teased them down or put them as the money line in parlays. And then I was taking a look last night and I go, I've got $280 invested in Pittsburgh. If they lose, I'm tanked for the week. So because they are such large favorites, I was able to place a $60 money line bet on Baltimore to win, and that pays off $205. And so if the crazy happens, I'm already doing a preemptive hedge, right? I'm hedging ahead of all these results that are going to take place later in the week, because everything revolves around Pittsburgh winning, and they're kind of the anchor that I'm pivoting off of for a lot of other bets. But I'm, rather than hedging at the end, I'm hedging at the beginning. And God forbid Baltimore somehow pulls a miracle. Instead of being down 280, I'm going to be down 60, and I'm going to have the rest of my week. Versus if Pittsburgh wins and I place that $60 hedge bet, everything that's going to trickle in and matriculate after that is going to more than cover that $60. To me, that's just betting smart. And that's one of the things that I want to focus on with this show. Early on in the earlier episodes, I really did some complicated bets and teasers and backing things up and playing them both ways. And then the last few weeks, I've tried to simplify it. But the name of the game is making money. The name of the game is winning. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if you've got a hedge or do whatever you need to do. If you can do it with sound mind, clear mind, sober mind, and be smart about it, you're going to have success. And that's, you know, that's how I have had success in the past, and that's what I hope I can have success with in the future. So that's this week's tip. If you notice that you're super invested, if you're going to make one team your anchor, make sure that if you were to take it the other way and hedge, that money line is so significant that it takes a small investment to protect your hedge. Does that make sense, James?
Yeah, so I'm trying to equate it to how I would try and explain that, and it's, I mean, I understand the concept of hedging, but it's like purchasing an insurance policy.
It's exactly what it is. It's 100% an insurance ticket. That's 100% how I approached it, and how I've described it in earlier episodes. So, that being said, let's get into this week's action, Week 13. In the NFL, obviously, Baltimore-Pittsburgh is week 12. We're going to start off talking about week 13 with the Detroit Lions, recently fired head coach Matt Patricia, going on the road to take on Chicago. And Chicago has got an absolute dumpster fire on their hands with their quarterback situation. Chicago is a 3-point home favorite. The over-under on this game is 44.5. James, what are your thoughts on Detroit-Chicago?
It's a tough one because, obviously, the Lions have just sacked their coach. Like you explained, Chicago do not have an offense at all. I can't imagine it's going to be a particularly entertaining game to watch. I know the name of the show is Taking Me Over, but I'd be really, really surprised if this game got more than 4 to 4.5 points. I would be really surprised. I can see Detroit going into Chicago and winning this game.
I agree with you. And this is one of my very, very most confident plays of the week. Detroit is going to have that new coach bounce, right? They're going to get that bounce. They're going to get that positive momentum from having a new coach. I don't think Detroit is all that bad of a team from a talent standpoint, but as in the last several weeks, I've been reading a lot of articles about how Matt Patricia had tried to bring that Bill Belichick Patriot way to Detroit, and it had never taken root and it had never taken hold. And look, the Bill Belichick Patriot way works when your team's winning. Guys will buy in, but you can't be a complete hard ass and have all these strict rules and gruesome practices and also lose. You know, so Patricia was an example of that Patriot way not working outside of New England. They said he did not have a good relationship with the players. As a result of that, I feel very, very confident that Detroit is going to win this game. I think they're going to win outright. I'm taking them +3. I also have them in a 6-point teaser where I'm teasing them up to +9 because I cannot see Chicago, even at home, putting it to Detroit that way. So we're in agreements on that one, and that is one of my official picks of the pod, Detroit +3. As far as the over, they are playing in Chicago outdoors. It'd be difficult to see. I'm going to stay away from the over-under on that one, but feel very, very confident about Detroit getting that that giddy up in their step from getting a new coach, and he's apparently already doing pretty well with the players. So wouldn't be shocked to see a Detroit outright victory there in an upset. Next game is going to be Cincinnati on the road taking on Miami. Now, Miami is an 11.5-point home favorite over Cincinnati, who represented themselves pretty well in their first game with Joe Burrow being out for the next 12 months. The over-under on this game is 42. James, what are your thoughts on Cincinnati-Miami?
Well, I think Miami wins. It looks like Fitzpatrick is going to start the game again for the Dolphins. I don't think Tua is going to play. If one thing you can guarantee with Fitzpatrick is that he is going to throw the ball. He's one of those quarterbacks that just, well, I guess you call gunslinger. He just throws the ball. I would take Miami. I think they'll cover.
Oh, wow.
I think they'll win by more than that. And I think I would take the over on that one as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, Miami, Fairweather Stadium. You could very easily see that over happen. You know, Cincinnati's a team that has talent at the positions, running back, wide receiver. They clearly don't have talent on the offensive line. And Miami is an example of, we talked about how the Matt Patricia Patriot way did not take root in Detroit. Well, with Flores in Miami, that Patriot way is working. And he is out of that Bill Belichick coaching tree, and they are having success there. And it appears that Miami is a very, very well-coached team, playing well in all aspects. 11.5 is too much for me on this game. And Cincinnati has been showing a lot of heart, you know, last week without Burrow, and they did come up and cover. I'm close on that one, but I'm gonna stay away. Although taking the over is a very interesting proposition as well. Next game is Indianapolis -3 on the road, taking on the Houston Texans. Over under on this game is 51.5, and Houston has just lost Will Fuller, who, along with Brandon Cooks, was part of that dynamic receiving core. For a PED, performance-enhancing drug suspension, and they also lost Roby, the cornerback, for a performance-enhancing drug suspension as well. What are your thoughts, James, on Indianapolis and Houston?
Well, the Colts are going to win the game.
Right.
I don't think there's any danger. I don't think there's any danger there that the Colts are going to win the game. I think I would have probably taken the over on that had Houston had Will Fuller playing. He's going to be a big miss. I mean, basically, they've got Brandon Cooks. That's their only receiver now. And I think they're going to struggle. Obviously, they just released Kenny Stills.
Yes.
Released Kenny Stills. I mean, it's bad for me in fantasy. I know this is gambling rather than fantasy, but I've got Deshaun Watson in two of my leagues as my quarterback. So I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to now. So, you know, I think the Colts for the win, and I don't see the points going over.
Yeah, I like the Colts to cover here. I really feel good about Indy minus -3. I think Houston's going to have some difficulty, and we've seen it with Houston. We saw it last year in the playoffs when Fuller was injured and Hopkins was the only option. When Deshaun Watson is limited in his options, things start to go pretty south for him pretty quickly. And with the absence of Fuller now, and only having Cooks as an option, I feel that much better about taking Indy minus -3 as an official pick on the pod. Next game is going to be Jacksonville on the road taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota is a 9.5-point favorite here. Over-under on this game is 52. James, what you got for Jacksonville, Minnesota?
Minnesota are the Jekyll and Hyde team this year. One week,
absolutely.
One week they can look brilliant, and the next week they can look horrible. I mean, they squeaked out a win against the Panthers. I mean, literally, they tried everything they could to hand the Panthers that game, and still the Panthers couldn't put them away. Is Dalvin Cook fit for this game? I know we got injured.
Dalvin Cook will be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think with Dalvin Cook playing, I would be. I mean, did you say the line was 9?
9.5.
9.5. It's at Jacksonville.
No, they're in Minnesota.
Oh, they're in Minnesota. No, yeah. I would say Minnesota. Yeah, I would take Minnesota there. They're going to beat them by more than 9.5.
They're such a Jekyll and Hyde team, like you said. They're so up, they're so down. I have no love lost for Minnesota, given how their relationship has been with the Saints in the last several years. Personally, I'm staying far away from this one. I could see myself leaning to the over a little bit, but there's other good stuff going on early in the NFL on Sunday. So I personally am going to stay away from that one. Next game, Las Vegas Raiders are 8-point road favorites over the New York Jets. And the over-under on this game is 47.5. Vegas is coming off of an embarrassingly bad performance against Atlanta. And it's really, really hard to explain exactly what happened in that game. I watched that game pretty intently. And I can tell you, Vegas just fell apart. It wasn't even really that Atlanta came and did anything exceptional. Vegas just gave it to them. I mean, their second half of that game was atrocious, unlike any second half I think I've seen in a very long time. But the Jets are the Jets, and they are the worst team in football. And they are playing at their home field of death that appears to injure players right and left. James, what's your thoughts on Vegas and the Jets?
I think you summed it up really well. Had the Raiders not laid an egg last weekend, I would be all over. Personally, I'd be all over the Raiders. Did you say they were 8-point favorites?
They're 8-point favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they will win. They would have won by more than 8, but there was something wrong this week. And like you, I did pay quite a bit of attention to this game. There was something that wasn't right. Gruden and Derek Carr were arguing the whole time. I mean, I know Carr didn't play well, but it was like Carr was annoyed at Gruden for the play calling or the game plan or something, you know, to go from running the Chiefs close and actually beating the Chiefs this season to then playing like that against the Falcons, who have got possibly the worst secondary in the NFL, apart from the Jets, maybe, was a massive shock. However, they're playing the Jets, and I would take the Raiders at -8. Yeah, what did you say the over-under was?
47.5.
Yeah, I'd probably avoid that, to be honest.
Well, it's funny, you know, you said, you used the word shock, and it's and you mentioned that Vegas has defeated the Chiefs. Vegas has defeated the Chiefs. They defeated the Saints. Vegas has defeated the two teams that I believe are going to appear in the Super Bowl this year. You know, it's just just shocking. It's like some weeks they come out and they overachieve, and last week was an absolute aberration. I would like to think that it's not going to continue on like that. Vegas is like secretly, if the Saints were to cease to exist, Vegas would probably become my my favorite team. But I mean, I just eight. I do have this. I do have Vegas in some money line, some pretty extended money line parlays. But something about that performance last week and going on the road, I'm not comfortable placing either. I don't want to bet on the Jets, and I don't want to bet on Vegas either in this game. Brings us to a game that I am very, very excited about. Our beloved New Orleans Saints are going on the road, taking on the Atlanta Falcons for the second time in 3 weeks. The Saints currently sit at -3. Saints are 3-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 46. James, what's your thoughts on New Orleans and Atlanta?
I'm surprised by how high the over-under is on that one.
Yeah, when they met three weeks ago, it was a 33-point total, 24-9.
Yeah, the Saints with Taysom Hill as quarterback, you're not really sure what you're going to get from the two starts he's had. Very, very different. I mean, I know there was some circumstances around this one with changing the game plan and things like that. You know, the Saints defense is quite possibly playing the best football that a defense in the NFL is playing at the moment, at this moment in time. You know, maybe the Steelers, maybe. But, you know, teams conceded one touchdown in four games.
Yeah.
Touchdown in four games. I don't see there being enough points scored in this game to hit the hit the over potentially on that. The Saints at -3. Yeah, I think the Saints are going to win by more than 3 points.
Absolutely. And it's funny because that was about the same line when they took them on 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I've said it. I say it almost every week on this show. I try not to let internal biases and favoritism come in. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I know more about the Saints than any other team. Right? We're huge Saints fans. We're Saints fanatics. We follow the Saints. We're more familiar with the Saints than anybody else. Yes, it's the Saints and it's Atlanta, and that's a crazy rivalry. But when you just step back and you take that 30,000 foot bird's eye view and you go, the Saints are 3-point favorites to Atlanta. All day. Yeah. That line is -3. Absolutely take that. In fact, take that -3, take it on the money line, tease it, parlay it. This is another one of those anchor bets that I really, really feel comfortable about this week. You know, we sacked Matt Ryan something like 8 or 9 times 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is just, I understand there's people are divided on Taysom Hill as if he is the next quarterback of the Saints. And I don't even want to get into that here on this show because it is such a divisive thing. But Saints -3 in Atlanta all day, all day. And that's going to be another fun one to watch. And I mean, you could run that on a 6-point teaser if you want. It's one of the ways I have it to where the Saints are now +3, because if the Saints do lose this game, I don't see it them losing by anything more than a fluke last second field goal. So this one's in a really good position. It started out at 3.5. It came down to 3, and I'm all about it right there. Didn't even have to buy it down. So that's a really, really exciting big play for me this week. Next game, this is going to be another good one as well. Cleveland, the 8-3 Cleveland Browns on the road, going down to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is 5.5-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 54. James, I got to tell you, I think that Cleveland's quarterback is one of those not the real deal. If there were a club of false messiah quarterbacks, Carson Wentz would be the president of that club. And I believe that Baker Mayfield would be the vice president of that club. He'd be the number two man of the false messiah, fake hype quarterback club. What are your thoughts on Cleveland and Tennessee?
Well, we mentioned Minnesota being a Jekyll and Hyde team earlier on. I think this is a game between two Jekyll and Hyde teams. Mm-hmm. On their day, Tennessee can be almost unbeatable. You know, they've got possibly the best running game in the NFL with Derrick Henry, who is just a beast. But can you trust Ryan Tannehill, and can you trust their defense? I'm not sure you can.
I think you can trust Tannehill. I think Tannehill's proven it. And I was actually rewatching the Tennessee Indy game last night on NFL Network. And I think that Derrick Henry is a Hall of Fame talent. He's one of these generational talents. And I think he's going to be one that you tell future generations about, oh, I watched Derrick Henry play. I think he's on that level. 5.5 seems like a bit much for these two teams. I definitely think this game is another perfect candidate for a 6-point tease. I don't see Baker Mayfield coming in here on the road and defeating Tennessee straight up under any circumstances. I can absolutely see them getting some kind of fluke cover, you know, just because that's the way the NFL is today. But I would stay away from this at 5.5. I would love to tease it down to giving Tennessee a 0.5 or teasing it to a pick if the line were to expand. Next game on the docket, the New York Giants going on the road to take on Seattle Seahawks team. Seattle coming off of a victory this past week. This game, the Giants are 10-point underdogs. The over-under on this game is 48. James, what are your thoughts on the Giants in Seattle?
I'm assuming the line changed when Daniel Jones got hurt.
It's been at 10. It's been at 10 all week.
That surprises me that it hasn't changed when Daniel Jones went out.
It opened at 7.5 and it expanded to 10. Yeah.
So the Giants are obviously in the lead in the East now at 4-7, which in itself is a joke. But they've looked quite good defensively for the past few weeks. Seattle are a strange team this year. They're in the 2 seed at the moment, I think, aren't they, in the NFC?
Currently, I believe Green Bay is the 2 seed.
Okay. I thought I saw Seattle there, but that could have been before Green Bay played on Sunday night. They're a strange team. I mean, Russell Wilson is probably my favorite non-Saints quarterback in the NFL. I was really hoping that when he was having his contract dispute with the Seahawks, that somehow, some way, the Saints could try and prize him from Seattle. But obviously, it's wishful thinking at the time. I think with no quarterback it's going to be Colt McCoy at quarterback for Giants. I would have to take Seattle with the points there, I think.
I'll say this. Seattle and Philadelphia this past week. Philadelphia had an all-time bad beat backdoor cover. A lot of people ended up getting that game at Seattle minus 6.5, and Philadelphia came back and threw what would appear to be a meaningless garbage time touchdown, and then went for two and got that as well, and it blew up a lot of people's bets. Now, I was fortunate. I had Seattle minus 5. I'd gotten that earlier in the week. And then that miraculous last second, you know, in some circles meaningless, but to gamblers, very meaningful touchdown that Philadelphia got ended up hitting an over for me that I had teased down. So, like, that crazy miracle that happened at the end of that game, you know, it ruined a lot of people, but it made me very, 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 very happy. That being said, and I believe, you know, Daniel Jones' status is still up in the air as of like an hour ago. It's a hamstring injury. They're saying he's reporting to the facility with the playbook. The mind is there. Is the body going to be there? Seattle hasn't been beaten teams by a whole heck of a lot. That defense is just almost historically bad. They have an almost statistically historically bad defense this year. And I think the Giants are going to cover. I've got New York plus 10.
Okay.
I think with, you know, obviously Colt McCoy versus Daniel Jones is a big piece there. I'm going to wait until later in the week to make that call, you know, as we learn more about Daniel Jones's status, should I actually put the money there? But if you made me pick right now, I'm going to say the Giants plus 10. And I feel very, very, very confident in that. And I've had success with the Giants covering these large lines. I mean, these are your NFC East leading New York Giants. James, come on, man. They're the division leaders. Big time. Big time team there. They're playoff bound.
Yeah, I mean, as it stands, I mean, that's probably the one division where all four teams could still win it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably not the Cowboys, but, yeah.
No, and they're going to bring... you know, the winner of that division is going to go into the playoffs and host a playoff game with a losing record.
Yes, and the last two teams that have done that won their first playoff game that they hosted.
I'm sure all Saints fans remember the
and Saints fans remember the one from 2010. Yeah.
2010 wasn't it? Yeah, 2011 was the San Francisco playoff game, wasn't it? Yeah, 2010.
That was a debacle too.
The Beast Quake.
Next game, LA Rams are 3-point favorites going down to Arizona. Over-under on this game is 48.5. And Arizona, little Kyler Murray just appears to be a little too banged up. You know, I've noticed a contrast we've been trying to put our finger on over the last several weeks. How Arizona came out the block so hot and with so much hype, and what's happened and what's changed, because it almost seemed like in these early games this season when Arizona was having success, people were whispering after 3 weeks that Kyler Murray could be in the MVP conversation, which is just ludicrous, that his powers, that he got better as the game goes on. But what it looks like now is, you know, no quarterback of Kyler Murray's stature. And I don't put Drew Brees in that category. I think if you put Drew next to Kyler, he's going to tower over him. Guys that size just don't make it. And these little accumulation of injuries here and there, I think have gotten to him. And it's impacted how he plays. It's impacted how he runs. I saw on a third down watching that Arizona game this week, you know, he slid a good 2-3 yards short of the line to gain when he could have powered through and got it, was going to take some hits. I think that Kyler Murray's accumulation of injuries are beginning to affect them. Although these NFC West games, as you saw last week, a perfect example, Rams and 49ers, it's always crazy out there. These NFC West teams, when that division plays each other, it is hard to say. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, but this game's going to get a big nope out of me. James, what's your thoughts on?
Yeah, I would steer clear of this one too, because you don't know what you're going to get. On the Cardinals, I wonder whether teams have wised up to the Cliff Kingsbury offense. First couple of weeks of the season, it was all a bit new. I mean, I know it's his second season, but it was all a bit new, all a bit fresh. But teams have got tape on it, so they've been able to nullify some of the things that Kyler Murray was able to do. I do think there's something in what you were saying about his size and stature, because he is, every time you see him play, he is the smallest person on the field.
Yeah, by far.
And, you know, he's going up against some big people
that aren't that much slower than him.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the Rams, I don't trust Jared Goff at all.
No, it's hard to trust Jared Goff. Right.
Never have, never will. I mean, I know as a Saints fan, you don't like the Rams because of what happened 2 years ago. There's no way that we should have lost that. I'm not going to go into it, but there's no way we should have lost that game.
Oh, sure.
Taking out the pass interference. But yeah, I don't trust Jared Goff. They've got a good defense. But yeah, I would be leaving this one well alone.
I think that's a smart move. That's the same thing I would do there as well. Next game. Okay, this is one that I'm very excited about. And this is going to be a Sunday afternoon game. This is going to be at home in Green Bay, Lambeau Field. The Green Bay Packers are 9.5-point favorites over the Philadelphia Eagles. The over-under on this game is 46.5. Now, watching Philadelphia this past week, it is amazing to see just how shell-shocked Carson Wentz is. And I've said on this show in previous weeks, I've said that he doesn't have heart, and I've said that he's a false, and it's not so much that, it's kind of sad. It seems like he's a guy who's taken a couple of big hits that have caused injuries in his career, that have changed the trajectory of his career, that have changed how he plays the position. James, Carson Wentz is like a statue back there. I mean, it is just, it's almost kind of sad. Unless Doug Peterson gets fired between now and kickoff, I don't see any scenario at all where Philadelphia can win this game. This is just absolutely not going to happen. Now, 9.5, we've seen Philly's propensity to come in and cover versus quality teams, just because all of a sudden, right there at the very end of the game, they decide to start playing. The other team has backed off, whatever the reason may be. This Green Bay game right here, to me, this is an anchor. This is another one of those anchor games. This is a game that I want you to pivot off of. This is a game that I want you to tease down to 3.5 and play it with anything else that you're going to play it with. On any kind of money line parlay, I like to throw in some money line parlays. This is just like a free multiplier. Now, again, I understand like Green Bay is something like -475 on the money line, but it's essentially a free multiplier, because there is no way that Green Bay loses this game. Short of Doug Peterson being fired and someone with a half a brain coming in here and making a change at quarterback, Green Bay's got this all day. You know, it is what it is. What are your thoughts on Philadelphia and Green Bay?
I'm with you 100% on this one. I think when Carson went to his knee, what was that, three years ago?
3 years ago was the knee injury, and he's taken some big hit. He took a big hit in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
You know, because he put it together again last year. He got him to the playoffs. And then I think he's another one of these guys, man. It's like he had a career-changing hit. That Jadeveon Clowney hit on him in the playoffs may have been a career changer, because he's not been the same since.
Yeah, no, he's not a good quarterback at the moment.
No,
I think I'm in agreement with you. This is Green Bay all day, every day. There's no way Green Bay loses this game to them.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not quite Saints against Broncos confident, because that's a exceptional circumstance, the way that came about. But there's no way that Green Bay lose this game.
There's no way Green Bay lose this game. You could, yeah, bet the house on it. Your next game, also going to be an afternoon game. The New England Patriots on the road, flying out to Los Angeles to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. This game is currently a pick 'em. There is no line. It's been alternating between one to New England to straight pick 'em. The over-under on this game is 47. Look, here's the thing. I can't bet with Cam Newton, and I can't bet against him. And almost every smart bettor that I know took the Chargers and the points last week against Buffalo and paid the price for it. You know, the Chargers are one of those teams that what's the old go-to saying? We say that they're the best team with that record, the best team with the worst record. They're playing so much better than their record indicates because they've had so many close losses. But a team can only have that happen to them so many times before their spirit gets broken, right? I am noping out on the Chargers and the Patriots. Over under 47. I want no part of that either. James, what's your thoughts on New England and the Chargers?
That over under is too high.
Yep.
The Patriots have no offense. Now, the Chargers do have a bit of offense. I mean, I think the quarterback, Justin Herbert, is going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be good. They've got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams at wide receiver. And is it Austin Ekeler, the running back's back now as well?
He appears to be healthy, yeah.
But I don't trust either team this year. You know, and that's a hard thing to say about the Patriots because you've been able to trust them pretty much for 15 years.
Right, and they looked dead in the water about week 8-9, and then they've been coming back to life and by hook or by crook winning some games. And I wouldn't be shocked to see New England, you know, slip into the playoffs this year.
They could get the wild card.
They very easily could get the wild card. But it's just Cam Newton is so – he is mind-blowingly crazy. Yeah. I mean, just look at the clothes, the man. He's got mental illness, man. And I've wagered on him before, and it'll drive you crazy. And I've wagered against him, and it'll drive you crazy. I just – for my own peace of mind, I'm staying away from this game here.
Yeah, I mean, we as Saints fans have a predisposition to dislike him because of how long we played against him for and some of the things he did to us, you know, when the Carolina Panthers were good. But yeah, no, this game is, that's a betting graveyard, that game.
Oh, God, I could not want that any less than I do. Next game, this is another interdivision rivalry. Denver going to Kansas City. Kansas City is 14-point favorites. 51 is the total on this game. Now,
Tyreek Hill's fantasy points over.
Yes, that is Tyreek at halftime. and this is another one where KC has already played Denver this year. They beat them by something like 30. I mean,
it wasn't close.
They're clicking on all cylinders. They are, you know, the Mahomes stats weren't as sky high as they had been through the first few weeks of the season, but he's obviously hit his gear. You saw it in the first half last week. You saw Tampa Bay come back, and I mean the scoreboard really didn't reflect the domination that occurred in that game. I anticipate that Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl in the AFC, and it's really hard to predict how Denver is going to react now coming off of last week. They feel slighted by the league. They've got this victim status that I personally believe they brought all onto themselves, you know, but I got to tell you, 14 is far. 14 is a long way to go, even though they beat this team by 30 earlier in the season. There's too many other good options out there that I feel real, real certain about. James, what are your thoughts on Denver versus Kansas City?
The Chiefs are going to win the game. There's no doubt about that. There's something about the Chiefs' defense that is looking a little bit off at the moment. You know, I mean, I know it was a couple of weeks ago, but you can compare what the Saints did to Tampa in Tampa compared to what Kansas City did to Tampa in Tampa. And, you know, Tampa Bay didn't even look like they were going to score a touchdown against us when we played them. But in the second half, they were moving the ball on the Chiefs a lot, and they were moving it easily. It's only because Brady seems to have put Jameis Winston's glasses on since he's put that Bucks uniform on. He can't stop going to the other team.
Right.
If 14 points is a lot, I think if that was closer to 10, I may be tempted to take that. But 14 points is a little bit rich for me in that game, I think.
I'm with you on that. Next game is an intriguing one. So you've got Buffalo, who is going to be a three-point favorite, and they are going on the road, and that's air quotes, because they're going to play San Francisco. But this is essentially a neutral site game because of COVID rules in Santa Clara County, California. San Francisco is not going to be able to have home games for the next three, or basically they're going to lose three home games. And so they will be playing this game in Tucson, Arizona, at the Cardinals field. And so it's essentially a neutral site game. Buffalo minus three, San Francisco. Total on the game is 48. James, what's your thoughts on Buffalo and San Fran?
This one is quite a tough one to pick, actually. If it was being played in Buffalo, I think it would be easier to take the Bills to win. But the 49ers are starting to get some of their injured players back. You know, they went on the road and beat the Rams this weekend. That's no mean feat. The travel could have an impact because
Arizona
is a long way.
It always seems tough when Buffalo has to go west, you know, and that's a very good insight. I this is tough. I mean, you know, because San Francisco, and when they play the Rams, like we saw this past week, crazy things happen. And San Francisco, I think, is one of the best coached teams in the league. Yeah. Shanahan's been able to do it with really, I don't think he's had real talent at quarterback. And it'll be very, very interesting in the offseason to see if he's able to get a Matthew Stafford there, or if they're able to lure some type of talent to San Francisco to play quarterback, because I think that instantly puts them right back in the Super Bowl conversation, just based on their other talent. But they've had health concerns, they've had COVID concerns. I've been riding Buffalo pretty hard this year and been very excited about them, but I do not feel comfortable with them traveling all the way to Arizona, even as just a three-point favorite. I don't feel comfortable teasing that one. I don't feel comfortable money lining that one. I would stay away all day. Next game, and it's going to be the final game, and there's really there's no line on this game currently because Pittsburgh hasn't even completed their game for this week. And that would be the Washington football team at Pittsburgh. Early indications is that this will be something like a 10-point line when it opens. That'll be one to take a look at. I mean, and make some decisions later in the week. See how Pittsburgh makes it through their game with Baltimore this afternoon. See what Pittsburgh's COVID situation looks like, what their injury situation looks like. There's just not enough data right now for Vegas to put up a line, and concurrent with that, there's not enough data for me to make a good call on this. You have any early thoughts on the Washington football team in Pittsburgh?
The one thing I would say is you've got two top five defenses going against each other in that game, because Washington, and it's so difficult not to call them what they were called before. Washington.
Joe Buck messed up over the weekend. Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he did.
On the holiday. Yeah, on Thursday.
Yeah, he did. But you know, they're 4-7 as well. But in any of their defeats, they haven't really been blown out. Mm-mm. Now I know a lot of their games have been played against their other NFC East teams, but I mean, look what they did to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Regardless of how poor the Cowboys are, not many teams go into Dallas and win like that
on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah,
and we've specifically not talked about Dallas either. And Dallas is one of those games that is being moved around due to COVID concerns as well. In fact, Dallas and Baltimore are slated to play on that Tuesday. And early indication is that Baltimore would be a 7-point favorite over Dallas. But again, you know, COVID has thrown such a wrench, obviously, in everyone's lives, in people's health. I caught it myself. You know, I mean, it's changed so much about our lives. It almost seems trivial to sit here and, you know, go on about how it's affected sports wagering and football. I'm just happy that we're still having games. I'm happy that we have games to watch. You know, I love the NFL. I am not often do I ever have anything good to say about Roger Goodell and the league, right? But to their credit, I'll say it again. I said it on the Instant Reaction Pod earlier this week. To their credit, they haven't missed a game. Yeah. To their credit, they've gotten everything done. And look, I had an occasion to speak with someone that works for the NFL a while back, and is an acquaintance of mine. And I was just like, "What's the deal with Goodell? How do they pay this guy $50 million a year, and he appears to be so bad at his job?" And his answer was, Goodell's job is to be the literal shield. Goodell's job is literally, it's almost like he's a bodyguard for the president. You know, in the United States, like if there's an assassination attempt on the president, the Secret Service bodyguards jump in front of him and catch the bullet. And that's what Goodell is for these owners. He is the shield. He's just there to catch the bullets. And they pay him. Yeah. Then they pay him $50 million a year to do so. You know, and they're wildly inconsistent. There's not been much consistency to how they've handled COVID. They have really, really, as Saints fans, they've offended us for years with the way that they've treated our team. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Billy Gunn has been working on grace, and I've been working on trying to be more positive and say nice things about people. And I will say this nicely about the league and the league's administration. They haven't missed a game yet. You know, it's hard to say if college football is even going to finish their season, but you know the NFL is. There's just too much money at stake here. You know,
there's a Premier League game that's been postponed on Friday night. Newcastle Aston Villa has been postponed here. Now they'll replay it, obviously, but it's been postponed because Newcastle have had a COVID outbreak. You know, it's such a unique situation that we've all been put into across the world. You know, it's not just in England or in America; it's across the world. Everybody's been dealing with it differently. But you know, I mean, there was a time when we probably thought that the NFL season wasn't even going to get started.
Right, and that really would have been demoralizing for me. Mm. You know, and in the United States, everything has become very divisive with politics. I can't tell you how many people that I know that are, because of, you know, for whatever reason, they've decided to not watch the NFL this year. And it's like, well, that's your loss, man. Because in a time when we need normalcy more than ever, when I want to be able to do as many normal things as I can, watching football, watching NFL football brings me so much joy. I'm not going to deprive myself of that. I would imagine people that are listening to this podcast feel the same way. They're listening to a podcast that talks about gambling and the NFL and the Saints. I mean, they're probably in the same boat, and that you've had friends and family that are like, nope, not watching it. But it's like, they've done a job of keeping it going. And it's funny that you mentioned the Premier League. And I know this time of year in the Premier League, teams start playing very, very, especially if they're still active in Champions League, if they're still active in any of the domestic cups. As you get into December with English Professional Soccer League, it's like they're playing games at a rapid pace. And that's, I think, what the NFL is starting to happen here. I mean, when you start to go down the line and look, it's like, you know, this team's going to play on Thursday, and then they're going to play again next Tuesday, and then they're going to play on. I mean, these things are happening. And I think they're doing their best. And obviously, they've been wildly inconsistent. Goodell is a clown, and Goodell is a stooge. But in the spirit of saying something nice about them, they haven't missed any games yet.
Yep.
They've found a way to make it happen.
Yeah, and do you know what? The product on the field for the first couple of weeks was not up to the usual standard, but it didn't take long for the players to find their groove and start playing
well. Well, no, and I think about that because I was looking at this week's slate, and I feel so confident about Detroit and Chicago. And you go look at Detroit and Chicago, this is the second time they've played this season. They played in week one and Chicago won.
Yeah.
But how far away, how different does it feel now, Detroit versus Chicago, than it felt in week one? You know, I mean, it has been a crazy season without the preseason, without the preparation. It's probably been hell on all of the rookies to come in, free agents to come in. You've got to wonder, I mean, like with the Saints quarterback situation, did Jameis lose all that time with traditional training camp to learn the playbook? How has that affected, you know, who the Saints start and everything like that? Like, so it's just been a crazy year. It affected gambling this week in that, like I said, I held a ticket for Pittsburgh -4, and that ticket disappeared. You know, that bet just came down. I can't really point to any situation in the past where I've had a locked in bet and the house just said, nope, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, I mean, things are just crazy. Imagine if you took Denver +6 against the Saints early last week, and then that line closed at 16.5. So it's been chaos everywhere. We've been doing our best to stick with it. I mean, it just makes the gambling piece a little bit harder. But as always, it's as fun as can be, man. You know,
yeah.
And that's why we do it. James, like I said, we're at the end of our slate for the week. I do want to give my best play pick of the week. I mentioned some specific things throughout the pod. My number one best play of the week is going to be a two-team teaser. And that's going to be New Orleans teasing that from -3 to +3. And that's also going to involve teasing Detroit from +3 up to +9. And so that is paying 8/10. If you were to wager $100 on that, it would return 83. That is number one, my best play of the week. James, do you have any other thoughts? Anything you want to make sure that we get to and talk about this week?
In terms of NFL, no. Like I said, you know, gambling on the NFL is not something I've historically done, but you know, I do tend to now have a little play every weekend. You know, I mean, the first weekend, if you remember, God, both Ben and myself went big on a 5-game, or I think it might have been a 6-game parlay based on your pick.
And I'm never gonna look. I think that 5- and 6-game parlay. I mean, I've learned my lesson with 5- and 6-game parlays over the years. but I'll be right there behind you, rooting you, cheering you on. You won't see me taking too many more of them ever again. Yeah, but I'm never going to begrudge somebody for doing it.
Yeah, there's a bit of a tradition in this country on a Saturday. Now, this was at a time where you could actually go and watch live football, where you know games kick off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. So you go and meet your friends in a bar. About maybe 10 o'clock, something like that, and then you'd have some beers, and then you go and find the local bookmakers, and then you'd all go in there and you'd all pool your money together, maybe I don't know, £5 each, and you pick a 10-game parlay where you all pool your money in together, you pick 10 games, win, lose, draw, whichever way it is, and then once in a lifetime that parlay will come off.
Oh yeah, and everybody's rich,
and you're talking thousands and thousands of pounds. I mean, right. It's never happened to me personally. Right. I mean, I've won £300 on a couple of parlays before on a Saturday afternoon. But it's just that one week where it's like the lottery. Your lottery numbers come up, you pick 10 games. You always throw a draw into the mix as well, because obviously in the Premier League you can have drawn games, and the odds for the draw are always the highest.
Right.
It's most historically the most unlikely result. So 10-game parlay, you're paying £50 for it, and you're taking 10 grand home. Wow. I've heard many stories where people have done that.
And you can have that same kind of success with horses too if you do pick four, pick five, pick six, Yeah, I mean that's definitely fun. Look, when all of this shakes out, when the world gets back to normal, man, it is on my list to get over to the UK. I wanna come hang out in the bar with the friends, take some 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, let's pool our money together. Let's bet some parlays. Let's sit in the English pub. I've always had this very romanticized view in my head of the UK. All of my friends and people that I've ever met, acquaintances from the UK, have always just been the wonderful, most wonderful, sweetest, nicest people in the world. And I'm so excited to have made the acquaintance of the UK guys here within the Dome Patrol United Network, man. And it's great to make new friends, and it's great to meet people from different backgrounds. And we have that common bond in the Saints, and we have that common bond now in wagering as well. So, James, I want to thank you so much for coming on this week, man. It's been a lot of fun. Try and get together with you guys again, perhaps as we get to the playoffs later on in this season. Yep. And if that's all you got, any other final thought for this week?
No, that's it for me. Just thanks for having me on. Like I said, I enjoy listening, it's good to get on and talk a bit of gambling, especially with the NFL stuff, as we do learn a lot from you.
Well, good, man. I appreciate it. I'm thankful for all of our listeners. I see that we do have a lot of listeners over in Europe and overseas, and we're very thankful for all those folks. With that being said, looking forward to week 13 action, folks. Everybody stay safe out there. Have fun. Bet on winners, and we're going to go ahead and see you guys on the other side. Later. The things you did today.